not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for all the people that have gathered in this room today in your name to glorify you. Lord, as we break the bread of life, help us, Lord, that we may do it with clarity, that we can understand it, Lord, not just understand it, but believe it. Not just believe it, but apply it to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, you can finally sit down if you'd like. I want to start out by saying, only biological males can be fathers. That amen was a lot weaker than I thought it'd be, considering where we live. But Perry, I think we need to clarify things like that in the day that we live. So happy biological male Father's Day. Amen. Call me backwoods, call me a hick, but you know what I say? That's just common sense, and this world has gone Looney Tunes. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Mother's Day sermons are different than Father's Day sermon. We warned you. On Mother's Day, if you were here, we're really nice to moms, and we're sweet. And then when the dads show up, we're just going to beat the snot out of you. That's just what we do because we're scared of our women. David went down to the battle, and down in the valley there was a giant, and he was saying, send me a man, send me a man, send me a man. And I want to echo that today. I want to say, send me a man, send me a man, send me a man. David goes down to the battle. We all know the story, I'm sure. If you don't, David shows up. Saul and all the men are on the side of the hill. But David has been anointed. David already has anointing dripping off him. When he shows up at the battle, he hears the giant in the valley defying the armies of the living God. History would tell us that there was a lot of vulgarity going on in that valley. There was a lot of things that were happening in that valley that were completely vulgar toward God. David says, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Why are we setting up here on the hill and he's down there? Here was the problem. Saul and all the men were looking at themselves to overcome the giant. But when David got to the valley, he understood this. It wasn't about his capability. It wasn't about his ability. It was about his God. He understood that he served the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that got a touch with a prophet and he outran a chariot, that same God walked with him into that valley. We need some men who understand that it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. On this Father's Day, I want to challenge you to step up and understand this. There's one thing that is the most important thing that we can ever stand for, and it's not anything in this world, but it's by and through the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I feel like I can preach to men, because I am one. We relate. I know the struggles you go through. I know the things you deal with. I know the excuses we make. Amen. David stepped in the valley. And when he stepped in that valley, there was something different about David than those men up there on the hill. He had been anointed. Let me tell you something about an anointed man. An anointed man sees things different than someone who's not anointed. Let me say it like this. A man who follows Jesus sees things differently than a man who does not follow Jesus. When they went to battle, Jason, they came back. And no doubt they are exhausted. They get back. It's time to go home. The battle's over. Finally, we're headed home. This is so true to our life because life is a battle. Let me try that over here. That side's got it good. Life is a battle. It's a struggle. It's a fight. We fight sometimes just to pay the bills. Sometimes we fight, let's be honest, just to keep our sanity. Sometimes we fight and we feel like our back is against the wall and we don't know which way to go. I don't know how people in the world do it. I really don't know how people who are lost make it through some of the battles that we go through. Can you say amen? I don't know how they make it. But I read just the other day that suicide is on the rise, so we see they're not coping real well. The Bible says in the last day, man would faint, man would give up. Why? Because of their heart would fail because of fear. It doesn't take long for things to start going sideways, for people to start getting nervous. Questions, get ready. Questions are going to start coming about. People you work with are going to start asking questions. When Israel is involved in a battle, the world takes notice. When the Middle East gets turned up, people begin to take notice. Years and years ago, men would read the Bible and they would say, there is no possible way that the Bible is correct. Because it puts so much emphasis on that one little area over there. And there's no way, there's nothing over there but sand. They said, there's no way it's all going to be centered around a bunch of desert. What they didn't know is underneath that desert, there were some things hidden that are of the utmost importance in the world we live. They may not have knew it, but God knew it. And now we're in a situation where that dictates a lot of what happens to us. Can you say amen? They're going to take notice. People are going to ask questions. People are going to get nervous. I am so excited. People get nervous about end time stuff. I say it and I'll say it again. If Jesus comes back, I hope he comes back on a Sunday because I don't have to work on Monday. Don't get me halfway through the week. Let's do it before we even show up. You got to understand who I am. I'm his kid. And because I'm his kid, I see it differently. I see the whole thing differently. There are some things that are maybe about to unfold that should excite the church. We really could be that generation that sees something great. We really could be. You say, maybe not. Well, if not, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing anyhow because it's working out real good. I'm still preaching the same Jesus, still celebrating the same salvation. Give me a man. We live in a messed up world. We live in a world. I don't know. When I see it, I don't even know why it bothers me so bad, because sinners are going to sin. But there are certain things that I witness in my life that just rips my heart out. And this is one of the things, call me weird, call me strange. I don't know why it's like this. But whenever I see a young man post a picture of his dad, and his dad's drinking alcohol and he's got his middle finger up at the picture, that tears me up. That image bothers me so bad. And I'm going to tell you why. Because that boy may be looking up to his dad right now, but there's going to come a day that that boy is going to stand in judgment, and he's going to wish his dad would have told him the truth of the gospel. He would have wished his dad would have stood up and not walked in sin. He would have wished that his dad, "Dad, why didn't you tell me? I looked up to you." It's grave danger to hold the truth in unrighteousness. Give me a man. Give me a man. Give me a man that'll stand on truth, that understands when it's not popular, it's still truth. When the world don't applaud you, it's still truth. When everybody ain't with you and they think you're weird, it's still truth. When nobody stands up and claps their hands and says, "Good job, good job," you still telling the truth. Amen. Problem is, the church has tried to become cool so that we can somehow fit in to their lifestyle. I didn't need a church that fit into my lifestyle. My lifestyle was a mess. I needed change. And when I went to church, I wasn't trying to find somebody to tell me that I was all right where I was at. I was trying to find somebody to get me out of where I'm at. And when the church tries to become relevant, we lose power, because the truth may not be relevant, but it still transforms. Can you say amen? Amen. I watched the video. You may have seen it too. What's the guy's name? Brandon. Who's the guy we sing? It's Brandon Lake. Anybody seen that interview? Raise your hand if you've seen the interview. They're sitting down there talking. It's recent. And he says, "I think the church should come up with more relevant terms so that people can understand our worship. If Bubba comes in and sits in the back and we're singing holy, 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 Bubba may not understand what holy means. So we need to get rid of our Christianese so that people can understand what we're saying." Let me tell you something. My worship ain't about Bubba. No, let me try it on a small side. My praise ain't going to Bubba. My praise is going to a holy God. And Bubba may not understand it, but it's not my fault. I want Bubba to understand it. But right now, I'm talking to Jesus, and I got a relationship with him. And if the angels cry holy, I can cry holy. We're trying to make this thing so user-friendly that it loses power. But give me a man. Give me a man. Give me a man that understands the reason he can sing holy, holy, holy is because the Savior died for him and showed him grace. And because that Savior was worthy, 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 I can say holy, holy, holy. Give me a man. David. He's tired. You ever been tired? You ever been tired? You tired right now? You good? You tired? No? Do I get any men in here that are tired? There's one over there. Anybody else tired? There's two. Come on. I'm just too tired to raise my hand, preacher. Just nod at me. Blink at me. I'm tired. Tired. You know what happens when you get tired? You get in trouble. You get tired of fighting the battle. You know what you do? You say, "Just whatever." And when you say "just whatever," somebody's in trouble. They came back from battle, Vicky, and they were wore out. David was their commanding officer. David was the one that took them into that battle. And they come back and Ziklag is burned. Everybody's gone. The women, the children. Let me back up and read that one more time, because I want y'all to catch this. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. I don't know why they weren't grieving for their wives, but it doesn't say they were. Sir, excuse me, but I just came from Ziklag and you took my kids. We got your wife too. Yeah, I need my kids though. How's it good? You want to barter a little here? Oh, listen to this. Listen to this. Real men of God know the gravity of what God has called them to do. God called them to pour something out into their children. Their wife, my wife is my help. We work side by side. Really good. When I try to get ahead, we get in trouble. When she tries to get ahead, we get in a whole lot of trouble. But side by side, we work good together. But we have an obligation. Listen to this. I want you to listen to this. This is scary. If a mom takes her kid to church, when they leave home, it is in the single digits percentage that they are likely to continue going to church after they leave home. If a dad takes their kids to church, it goes up to 89% likely when they leave home, they'll attend church. Is that to diminish the moms? Not at all. The point is to emphasize, it's on you, fellas. It's on you. If your kids are indifferent about worship, check your worship. If your kids are indifferent about their relationship with Jesus, check your relationship with Jesus. If your kids aren't right where they need to be, you got to check your relationship and where you've been and what you put importance. Hey, you got to be careful. Can I preach? Can I have latitude right here without y'all getting mad at me? You got to be careful, dads, when you're more concerned about them hitting a home run than you are their worship. When you're more concerned about them showing up out there than you are showing up in here. When you put so much emphasis on everything else that you forget about Jesus. We don't get to just put him in as an addition to our lifestyle. Give me a man. David went in that valley and he knew exactly what he was going to do. After he defeated Goliath, the number one song on the charts went like this. Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. The women are singing the praises of David after he slew Goliath. People are getting jealous. But let me tell you something. Things have a way of turning around real quick. People pat you on the back one day and pick up a rock the next. Because now nobody's singing the number one song. As a matter of fact, the song has changed. It was, we will rock you. I don't know, but I know this. They were talking about stoning him. And now, man, you imagine. Come up here, come up here, come up here. I like this guy. Y'all, come on up here. I like this guy. Y'all like this guy? If you don't like him, you don't know him. Because if you know him, you'll like him. Come here, I like you too. I like you too. I don't like you. Come up here. This is a complete side note, but I read the other day that, I don't even know where I read this at, but I read that a masculine man is supposed to walk like he's got a group of people around him to protect him. I guess that's how we're supposed to walk. We're going to battle. We won the battle. And man, let me tell you what happens. When you're in battle with people, you get close with them. When you're fighting stuff and people help you, you get close to them. When you're in dire need and somebody comes over to your house in the middle of the night and they pray with you and you get a breakthrough, there is a camaraderie that takes place in those moments. Do you know what I'm talking about? You get close with people. And when you get close with people, they mean something to you. And then when people talk about them, you take their side. Nobody said amen. Somebody going to run him down? I'm going to say something. No, that's my brother. That's my brother, man. He was there for me. We just got back, man. We won. We won the battle. I know we're tired. And, man, you imagine, they're walking into town. Everything's looking good. And then they smell smoke. And, man, when they start smelling smoke, where's that coming from? And as they get closer, they realize that's about right where my house is. Now, these guys start looking that way, and there's no high-fiving now. Because let me tell you what they did. They left David. And now David is alone. Let me tell you where's a scary place to be, is in a man's head alone. You ever played that game where you act stuff out? What's it, Pictionary? Yeah, is that what it's called? Charades? There's one though, it's called, what is it? Gestures. That's the new version, right? But yeah, you ever played that game where you act stuff out? I remember one time my brother's at my house. Him and my wife, or his wife and my wife, are against me and my brother. They didn't stand a chance. Men communicate with such little bit of words. We don't need to talk. I remember this so well. It's been years ago. I went. He said football. It was right. Because let me tell y'all something. Psychologically, men shut down. And we don't talk as much because sometimes we don't even know if it's worth talking about. But there's a lot goes on in here. Am I doing enough? Is my wife happy with how much money I make? Does she like her car? Does she like this? My kids, did I mess up? Did I raise them right? What did I do? Did I do it right? I love them. Do they know I love them? Come on, is this just me? I'm confessing. And all this stuff goes on, and they'll say, hey, what are you thinking about? Nothing. Maybe we're just too lazy to talk. We're just nothing. Get us away from everybody. I'm telling you, there's some strange thing goes on in this mind of mine. Look at all you dignified men. Like, I wonder what's wrong with him, dear. I don't know. David knows those guys, not the guys on the other side, these guys are saying, let's kill him. Let's kill him. Why? Because of our sons and daughters. Let me tell you what David did. David encouraged himself where? In the Lord his God. Let me tell you what David did. I need you. I do. I need you. I appreciate you, Johnny. Everything you do, I appreciate you. Sam, I appreciate everything you do. Every sermon you ever preach, I appreciate it. If nobody else appreciates, I appreciate it. Thomas, I appreciate your sermons. I appreciate your message. I appreciate the men's ministry that you're doing. Man, when I come in here, I don't have to do anything. I come in, it's awesome. If you guys ain't coming, you need to show up to the next one. I appreciate that. But as much as I appreciate you and I need you, I need him way more. Because here's what happens. Sometimes you're alone. David got by himself. And let me tell you who he ran to. He ran to the Lord, his God. He knew there was refuge in that place. He said, bring me the ephod. He began to call out to God. He was by himself in his own head. Let me tell you something, men. When you get in that place, let me tell you where to go. Go to the Lord, your God. When everybody seems like they're against you, run to the Lord, your God. When it seems like your back's up against the wall, go to Jesus. When it feels like you can't make it through, run to Jesus. When you don't know if it's all working out the way you planned it, run to Jesus. And he prays. And he says, God, should I pursue this troop? God said, pursue, and you shall recover all. Now my job is to convince you to go with me. And they get up. They get up. They get up. And he says, we're going to get it. We're going back. I've talked to God. I've talked to the Lord. Let me tell you something about when somebody's encouraged. It changes the people around them. Man, I've been with Jesus, man. I've been with Jesus. We got this. I know you're tired. I know you put your rock down. I know you're tired. I know you're tired. I know. But we're going to get this. We're going to recover every bit of it. And they take off. Y'all bored yet? And they marched. I'm just kidding. And when they take off marching, they're going to get their children. We used to sing this song. It said, I'm going to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to take back what belongs to me. I don't want what I deserve. I want what he paid for. And as they're on the way, I know I wasn't going to preach this part, but this is the only Father's Day sermon I know. You come back next year, you'll hear the same thing. As they're marching, one of them says, I'm tired.
Say it more whiny.
I'm tired. Poor little boo-boo. There was a group that said, we can't go any farther. We can't make it anymore. And you know what David said? Well, you just sit right here. You sit down right here. You know what they did? They kept marching. There are some people going to forsake you. Keep marching. There are some people that are going to sit down on you. Keep marching.
That's right.
And they marched into the city. Oh, I want you to picture this with me, if you will. Those kids in that city see the men of Israel marching. When they seen them marching in, imagine, wait. There's my dad. Hey, there's my dad. There's my dad. And they march on in. Oh, but there's some kids that look at David and his men and say, where's my dad? Where is my dad? Sorry, but your dad couldn't make it because he sat down. But just because he sat down don't mean I'm going to sit down. We started a ministry in this church. I want you to listen to this really quick. We started a ministry in this church. It's called Kids Outdoor Zone. It's kind of cheesy. The name is. I could have came up with a better name. But I want to reach out. Some of these young men, not just in our church, but in our town, that have dads that have sat down. Are you listening to me? They may have sat down, but I understand the importance of that kid's soul. Don't get me wrong. Nobody can get to a kid like their dad can. Not in this respect. Because they're looking to the dad to see, what do you believe? How did you handle this? Which way do you go? What's important to you? They're looking for mom to fix their boo-boos and make them biscuits. That's what I like my mom for anyway. Women raise kids different than men do. Where's them scars at? You still got them? All over your hands? He's riding his bicycle one time and thought he was really good at it. He wiped out hard, hard, hard. He had asphalt embedded all in his skin. Tracy called me. Oh, David, it's bad. It's so bad. He's bleeding bad. He's bleeding bad. I said, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I'll be there in just a minute. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. It's bad. It's bad. She don't talk like that, but, you know, that's the only voice I had. I walked in. He's sitting over, blood running everywhere. I mean, there's asphalt in your face and everything, wasn't it? Up under the skin. I walked in and I went, yeah, baby, that's going to scar. He went, Tracy went, what? He stopped crying. He's excited he was going to scar up. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Now, when he wanted petting, he didn't come to me. When he wanted thumbs up, we were good. They're looking at you different, Sam. Amen. Don't sit down on them. Don't stop back here when they're over there. Amen. I refuse to stop praying for my kids. Yeah. I refuse to stop praying for my grandkids. Yeah. I got to hold that. That little Daisy May last night. And I'll be honest with you. I start seizing up. I don't know how you women do it. But after I hold them for a while, I'm like, everything's going to sleep. I think I hold them too tight because they scare me. And then Tracy comes. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, it's got to be an easier handoff than what we're doing here. Yeah. Man, I'm sitting on the couch. I'm going to confess. I'm going to let y'all go home. I looked down at her, and my allergies started acting up. And it happened with Sophie, too. I had Sophie, and I was holding her, and I was like, God protect her. God protect her from the seen and the unseen. Build a hedge of protection around her. God, just watch over. You know what's awesome about that? She has no idea who I am. She has no idea I'm praying for her. But God put a grandpa in her life that knows how to pray. And you know what I believe? I believe it's going to make a difference in her life. I believe it's going to make a difference in her life. Your kids in your life for a reason, man. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. And when they stand before judgment, which they will, I promise you they will. When they stand before judgment, they're going to appreciate the fact that you told them the truth. And it wasn't about all the stuff that goes on out there. And it wasn't about being the coolest dad. It was about being the truthful dad. That loved him enough that you wouldn't sit down and you marched in. And let me tell you what happened. And in the story, they recovered all. They recovered all. It ain't easy sometimes. Send me a man. Send me a man. Saul didn't go in the valley. It wasn't about stature. None of the other soldiers went in the valley. It wasn't about training. You know what it was about? It was about relationship. And here's the kicker, fellas. You're not David in the story. No, you're not David at all. Jesus went into the battle, and he fought the battle for you. And because he fought the battle for you, he won the battle for you. So you, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, this ain't about me winning battles. This is about pointing people to him who has already won their battle. So Marvin, if he did that for me, the least I could do is raise my hand and say thank you. The least I could do is talk to him in prayer and read his word and give my body a living sacrifice to him. Today, if you're here and you don't know him, as we sing this song, I'd love for you to come to the altar and pray. Somebody will pray with you. Somebody will pray with you. If you're in that place, hey, lady, man, it doesn't matter. If you're in that place where you're fighting a fight, do you understand that he'll come alongside you, fight your battle for you? Let's do this. I'm going back to my Baptist roots. Y'all ready? Every head bow, every eye closed. If you're not where you need to be with Jesus and you feel like he's dealing with you, would you slip your hand up? Would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If he's calling you, he's calling you for a purpose. He's calling you for a reason. If his voice has been dealing with you, he's dealing with you for a reason. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Listen, they still have their eyes closed. They got their eyes closed. If you say, you know what, preacher, I want you to pray for me this week. Pray for me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Would you slip it? I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. I need prayer. I need prayer. I got some things going on that I believe he can help me. There you go. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. As they sing this song, if you raised your hand and said, man, I need to get closer, and you want us to pray with you right now, would you step out? Would you step forward? Would you step forward? It's taking a step forward. You can pray right where you're at. I understand that. I know you can. But boy, there's something about stepping up, letting the enemy know I'm not staying in this place no more. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. Come on. Come on, ladies. Would you help me? Come on, ministry. Would you help me? Let's stand. Let's stand. All over the building, let's stand.